Well, good morning, and let me welcome you to our missionary weekend here in Sinfield Baptist Church. We usually hold two missionary weekends in the year, and this is our first one, although a little bit different, and I think it was something similar last year as well, but it is important that we continue to support our missionaries, and today we're glad to welcome to our church building our brother Donald Fleming from Faith in Action Ministries. Donald, you're very welcome, and of course Donald is no stranger to our church here, of course having Laura and John as members of our congregation, but it's we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord has been doing, and do please continue to pray for all of our mission societies that we support from our church. This has been a very challenging year, but we know that, as we've often said, the word of God is not bound, and we know that God is still able to work. Tonight we have SGA, another one of our mission societies, and Adrian will say a little bit more about that. Now, of course, it's custom in our missionary weekends to take up an offering, and that's maybe a little bit more challenging this year, but next Sunday, we do, God willing, next Sunday morning, hope to have our church building reopened, and so what we're going to do and what we've decided to do is, if you're here in the church building, then we are going to give the entire offering next Sunday morning to our missionary weekend. So as you would normally give in the boxes, you come along if you would like to give, and you're going to be here, you keep your offering, and all the money lifted next Sunday morning will be divided across the mission societies. Maybe you're watching in this morning, and you know that you won't be out at church next Lord's Day morning. Well, don't worry. If you would like to give, why not contact myself, or contact John Reed, the missionary secretary, or Gary McNeil. If you contact any one of the three of us, whether you want to give a cash offering, then we can come and lift that, or if you want to do it by bank transfer, something else, then speak to one of the three of us, and we will make sure that you're able to give as the Lord leads. I know it's not ideal, but that's what we have to do this year. Also, I want you just to inform you this morning that at the back, we have put in an entire new audiovisual system, and maybe the picture's a little bit clearer. That's probably not for your benefit if you're looking at me, but we, over this last number of months, the guys have been working very hard to put a whole new streaming system in, and I want to say a special thank you to Adrian. He has sort of led that, and to John Henderson, and John has been involved in the electrical work, and then to Mark and Daniel, who have worked tirelessly in putting in this system. Now, here's a disclaimer that I want to give you as your pastor. It will take a couple of weeks to get this completely right, and so I'm going to ask you as graciously as I can, please no criticisms, please be patient as the guys get to grips with the system at the back. They were here a good bit of yesterday, and they put a lot of hours in, so please give them the grace. If it's not exactly what you're expecting for a week or two, we will get there, and do give them that little bit of time. Now, that's all I want to say by way of sort of introductions, and I want to just take a reading this morning from a very familiar portion of Scripture that's often read in our missionary weekends. I want to read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, of course, next Sunday we're going to think about the resurrection, but this is after the resurrection, and the Lord is just about to ascend to heaven. He's just about to leave this earth, and he leaves a challenge with his apostles, and this challenge would go on to grow and form the foundation for all mission work right across the generation. So let's read what Luke says in Acts chapter 1 and the first 11 verses. Acts 1 and verse 1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What incredibly challenging verses, encouraging verses, as the Lord gives his disciples, his apostles, this last commission as he departs out of their sight. And there's a couple of wee things I just want to mention as we come to the Lord in prayer. And you know, the disciples were asking Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And you know, in verse number 7, he says to me, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. And you know, isn't it so easy for us as believers to get caught up with the times and the seasons and all that's going on? And you know, there's many things that's happening in our world in this last year, and COVID, and people talking about conspiracies and all of these things. And you know, isn't it easy for us to get distracted? And Jesus didn't want us disciples to be distracted, but you know what he wanted them to do? He just said, don't worry about the times and the seasons for now. I want you to be my witnesses. He says, because I'm going and I'm coming again. And I don't want you to be just gazing, but I want you to be busy about my work. And you know what's so important as the Lord's disciples today? That we're busy, that we're not distracted. Whether we're called to go to Ukraine or across another part of the world, or whether we're just called to go across the street, the times and the seasons belong to the Father. Let us be busy with an eye on the Lord's return to share the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're going to hear a little bit later about what Donald and his mission has been involved in Ukraine. But for now, let's just unite our hearts together in prayer and commit the time unto him. And as we do that, let me just mention a couple of people for prayer. And this morning as a church congregation, we want to express our condolences to our brother Tom McCormick on the death of an aunt that was dear to Tom's heart and very close to him. And so we want to remember Tom and Christine and that family circle today. And also Bertie and Margretta have had bereavement in their own family as well. And so we want to remember them together before the Lord. So let's unite our hearts and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your most holy presence this morning. We thank you we come before the Creator God of heaven and earth. We thank you, Father, we don't come to one who is an idol. We don't come to an inanimate object. But we thank you we come to the living God that sits enthroned upon the circle of the earth. Father, we know that even the greatest of men are but grasshoppers before you. And Father, we wonder, what is man that you're mindful of us? But we want to thank you that in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus, we who were afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. We thank you, Father, that we who were born in sin, we who were conceived in iniquity, we who, Father, were aliens from you, we thank you that your Son has reconciled us to you. We thank you, Father, for the day that you saved us. Thank you for the day on the cross when Christ gave up the ghost at the temple. The veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. We thank you today that we worship a living Savior, one who has ascended. We thank you that as he has ascended, he has become our advocate with the Father. We thank you that the veil has been rent and we have access to you today. And we come to you by faith. We know that soon, very soon, we believe in all that's going on around us, that very soon the Lord is coming. And we thank you that he's coming for his own. And Father, we thank you that faith will give way to sight. But Lord, as we've read in your word this morning, how easy it is to become distracted by the times and the seasons. But Lord, help us as you commissioned your disciples to be witnesses, to be good witnesses in these days of Jesus Christ, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our towns, whether it's going to further parts of the earth. Lord, we pray you'll help us to be good witnesses for Jesus Christ. We do pray for our mission family today, Lord. We know that it's been a very difficult year for many of them. But we do thank you for them, and we do pray a blessing upon Donald today. And as he shares of all the work that he's involved in, and with Faith in Action, Father, and all the things that they have been able to do even over this past year, we pray that you'll bless the folks out in Ukraine. And Lord, help them, Father, today, a very different environment to what we have in our land. And Lord, we're thankful for the place we have grown up. But we know it's been very different for those people, and we do pray for those dear believers today. Lord, we ask you'll bless Donald as he shares. May we be challenged, stirred, encouraged. And Lord, even as a result of this Mission Sunday, Lord, that our passion for the Lord would be reinvigorated. But Lord, we also want to remember those closer to home today. We remember those who have been bereaved this morning. And we do remember Tom and Christine, and we do pray particularly that you'll bless Tom. Every fondness of memory of his aunt, Lord, we pray that those memories would be precious to him. But we pray that you as the Lord of all comfort and grace would draw near to him and bless and encourage that family today. And for Bertie and Margretta in their respective bereavements and their family too, we ask our God that you will draw graciously near and undertake for them. And for others today, Lord, that are finding the days difficult, the burdens heavy, those who are struggling, suffering, those who are anxious, those who are under trial, Lord, we ask that you would minister to their every need today. Lord, we commend this entire day unto you, asking that you would be honored and blessed in all that's said and done from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now, just before Donald comes, Donald is going to bring us a report, and he's also going to share God's word. But before Donald comes, I'm going to hand over to Adrian. He's going to bring us the announcements, and then Donald will follow. God bless you, brother.
Stephen has reminded us we have a new system in, so we have plenty of room now. And if you can come and join us here in the church, we'll be glad to see you. And I trust the Lord, and I know the Lord will bless you as you come. And your speaker next day will be our own pastor, Pastor Moffat, all day. Now, as office bearers, we have taken the decision that the evening services will continue to be broadcast online only for the following 2 weeks, that is the 4th and the 11th of April, and reopening on Sunday evening, the 18th of April. Church, we look forward to that as well. Can I just say, even regarding next Sunday is obviously Resurrection Day and Resurrection Morning, and as you can recall, we have incorporated the communion service.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be here in Saintfield. Thank you so much to Pastor Moffat and to the elders for this invitation to come along to join you on this your missionary Sunday. It's such a blessing to be here to represent Faith in Action Missions. There's been a lot happening, even though we haven't been able to get into Ukraine for the past year. We're still able to do quite a bit of work, which we will share with you very shortly. But before we go there, we want to start off with the Word of God. So could you open your Bibles, please, in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we will begin the reading at verse 1, where the Word of God says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And we know that the Lord will bless that reading from his precious word. Brothers and sisters, in verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ used the words that Mary had wrought a good work on him. And it's these words that are going to be the theme for our message today. At the time of this beautiful act of Mary, the feast of the Passover was fast approaching. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would be taken, and he would be crucified and put to death upon the cross for the sins of the world. But here in this reading, we find the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples at a feast in the home of Simon, the one who used to be a leper. Our Lord Jesus Christ would have been enjoying good fellowship, good conversation, good food with his friends. It was during this feast that we find a woman called Mary, and we know it was Mary from John chapter 12, a woman who is so overwhelmed by a holy love and a desire to do something beautiful for the Lord Jesus Christ. So she takes a beautiful alabaster box of precious ointment, and she breaks it, and she anoints his head and his feet. I just want to share with you three thoughts in relation to this wonderful act of Mary's. First of all, Mary's act was beautiful in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me." When Mary broke the precious box of ointment and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, she was showing her love, her heart's love to the Lord Jesus Christ. The box itself was very beautiful, and the aroma of the ointment was so powerful and so beautiful that it would have filled the whole house. But more beautiful to the Savior was something that he treasured most of all, and that was the love and the affection of his servant Mary. For nothing in this world is more beautiful to the Lord Jesus Christ than the love of his people. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself the question, do I really love him? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, maybe you did love him the day that you get saved. Maybe that's so long ago now. Maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And maybe you don't think about how much you love him today. But do you still love him now? the way that you loved him then. I remember reading the testimony of John Huss, that the Czechoslovakian priest who converted to Christ, and how that they burnt him at the stake for his faith. And as he was dying at the stake, he said, "I love God more than anything." Brothers and sisters, what a witness, what a testimony that you can say that you love God not only in the good times, but especially in the difficult times. In Deuteronomy 6:5, we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. Because I believe that a heart full of love will lead us to a life that is full of service. Undoubtedly, Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he had done for her in raising Lazarus from the dead and all that he was going to do for her on the cross. But yet the beauty of her love was that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ just for himself. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ just because of who he was. And friends, this is why this story is so special. Because here was Mary, a woman who was so overwhelmed by her love for the Lord Jesus Christ that she looked for a way to express that love. Mary just wanted to give the Lord Jesus Christ her very best and that which cost her something. So she took the thing that was most precious to her and she gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to give the Lord Jesus Christ our best. Are you giving him your best? We need to be giving him our best of our finances. For example, we don't wait till the end of the week to see what's remaining from our salary and give him what's left. But surely he deserves our best. He deserves the first fruits of our salary. He deserves the first fruits of our time. We don't just wait to the end of the week to see if we have time to go to church or to see if we have time to go to the Bible study or prayer meeting, but we give the Lord Jesus Christ the first fruits. We give him the very best of our finances. We give him the best of our time. We give him the best of our family and our fellowship. But are we giving the Lord Jesus Christ our very best? Are we giving him the best in our worship? Do we give him the best in our service? And is our service acceptable to God? Or is it just routine? Is our service to God just another date on a diary or a calendar that has to be fulfilled? Church member, are you giving the Lord Jesus Christ your best this morning? Is your service acceptable to God? Or what about the elders of this church? Is your service to God and your worship to God, is it acceptable to him? What about your service in this area of the vineyard in Saintfield? What is it that you're doing here? Are you reaching the people? Are you loving the people? Are you winning people? Is your service to the people here in Saintfield acceptable to God? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't really think like that, so we don't. We just go about our work. But is our service, is it acceptable to God? Are we bearing fruit in the area of the vineyard that God has planted us in? Or is it all just a matter of routine? Is it just something that we do every week? We just get on with it. Brothers and sisters, it should never get to that stage. We should be giving Jesus Christ our very best and that which cost us something also. We could be doing more. Yes, one day we're going to stand before him and then we will wish that we had given him more. Do it while we have the opportunity. Take every God-given opportunity to give the Lord Jesus Christ our very best. So the first one is Mary's act was beautiful in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, Mary's act was also beautiful because it was a costly thing. Not only a beautiful thing, but it was a costly thing that she had done. John 12 and verse 4 and 5 tells us, in fact, we'll look at Mark 4 and 5 first of all, where it was said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and the money given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And in John chapter 12, 4 and 5, it tells us that it was Judas who was doing the criticizing for this loving act. Dear brothers and sisters, there's always somebody who's going to criticize us, isn't there? I'm sure we've all been there. No matter what we try to do for the Savior, there will always be somebody murmuring in the background. There'll always be somebody sitting waiting to criticize, and sadly I'm talking about Christians here. Brothers and sisters, never be put off. Never stop doing the work that God has called you to do. Let the murmurers murmur. Let the complainers complain. Just give the Lord Jesus Christ your very, very best. We hear Judas criticized her for this beautiful act, a really loving, caring act for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that the ointment might have been sold for more than 300 pence and the money given to the poor. You see, for the ordinary working man, this was the equivalent of a whole year's salary. It was a huge amount to spend on one simple act of love. Mary could have anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with something that was far less costly than this. But Mary wanted to give her Savior her very best, and that which cost her something. She was saying, in effect, that there was nothing that was too valuable to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, do we have that same attitude, that nothing is too much to give to the Savior? I remember speaking in a church one evening, and it was one of those times where we would send the odd container to Ukraine as we tried to furnish the different ministries that we were working with. And I remember talking about what the Lord was doing there. And at the end of that, one of the elders stood up and says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want you all to go home and bring in your old clothing and your old shoes and the old things that you no longer need and give them to the Lord for the work in Ukraine." And I said, "I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I don't want your old things, and neither does the Lord. Why don't you go home and bring your Lord the very best that you have? Bring in your new clothes and your new shoes and your new furniture and give them to the Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, it's so sad when we hear of Christians who want to give the Lord Jesus Christ the rubbish, the things that they no longer need, the things that they no longer want. Sure, just give them to Jesus. That'll do him. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. Our Heavenly Father didn't give us any rubbish. Our Heavenly Father sent the very best that heaven had to offer when he sent his own precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father didn't send one of the angels or one of the cherubim or one of the Old Testament saints. Our Heavenly Father sent his own precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Heavenly Father gave us the very best that heaven had to give. And yet, we still continue to give him second best. We give him the things that we no longer need. We give him the things that we no longer want. He no longer receives the first fruits of our time or our money or our fellowship. We just give Jesus what's left. After all that our Heavenly Father has done for us and giving us heaven's best, surely we need to give the Lord Jesus Christ more than that. Sometimes we're no better than the people of Malachi's day. The people who offered polluted bread upon the altar, the ones who offered blind sacrifices and disease sacrifices. They offered the sick and the lame to God. And I believe that that's what's happening today in many, many places. People don't want to give the Lord Jesus Christ their very best. And because of that, I believe that we're living in a day of cheap Christianity. It's a cheap sort of religious day that we are living in, where the Christianity and the gospel, it's become so watery today. Repentance, you never hear that old great Bible word of repentance anymore. People don't want to offend anyone, so repentance is rarely talked about. They'll not mention sin in many places today in case it offends people. They'll not mention that we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Brothers and sisters, churches are now booking comedians to come along to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a day of cheap Christianity, where it doesn't cost as much to be saved, where it doesn't cost as much to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't cost us anything nowadays to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told that if we just pray this little prayer, that we'll be saved. We're just told that if we just ask Jesus to come into our hearts today, we'll be saved. I want to say that this is totally unbiblical. This is not what the Bible teaches. John MacArthur said this, and I quote, "The watering down and misinterpretation of the biblical gospel is an attempt to make it more palatable and popular. It tastes great going down and settles easy. It seems to soothe your feelings and scratch your itch. The gospel is custom tailored to your preferences. But that easy believism will never fill you up with the true saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is designed by man and not by God. It's hollow and worthless. In fact, it's worse than worthless, because people who hear this message of false Christianity think they're hearing the truth of the gospel. They think they're being rescued from eternal judgment, when in fact they're being tragically misled. They have replaced the glory of God with the satisfaction of man." Unquote. Brothers and sisters, God has entrusted the greatest message to us. Are we being faithful and presenting it the way that he would have us to do it? Or are we preventing that message from going forth? The Lord Jesus Christ has told us in Matthew chapter 16 that unless we have repentance in our lives, that unless we deny ourselves, that unless we take up our cross daily and follow after him, then we cannot be his disciple. Very simple, isn't it? It's not about praying little prayers and carrying on with the way things used to be. It's about repentance, that change of life. And if that change of life isn't there, like the Word of God tells us it will be, then it's unlikely that there's salvation there. There must be a time when we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, sadly, it's more about man's self-esteem than about self-denial. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave us his very best upon the cross, and it's important that we give the Lord Jesus Christ our best also. So, brothers and sisters, this was a beautiful act of Mary. And not only was it a beautiful act, but it was a costly act. And thirdly, if you look at verse 9, it tells us that it was also a memorable act. Verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ said that wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be told for a memorial to her. The Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us that what Mary did over 2,000 years ago would be remembered for what she did to him that day. Brothers and sisters, 2,000 years later, what we're doing, we're still talking about this beautiful thing that Mary did for the Savior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't forget our acts of love and kindness in his name. Brothers and sisters, no matter what it is that you're doing today for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ will remember what you've done also. He will never forget what you have done. I love Revelation 14 and 13, the end of that verse. It's so encouraging. It says, and John says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Isn't that wonderful to know that no matter what we are doing for the Lord Jesus Christ today, No matter what we have done for him 20, 30, 40 years ago, whatever we have done in his name will never be forgotten. Our works shall follow us. They're coming to heaven with us one day. And we're going to stand before the Bema. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, not to be judged for our sins, because Christ has already dealt with them on the cross. But we're going to stand before him. And as we stand before him, our works will be brought up before us. What you have done for Christ in this life, he's going to reward us. Brothers and sisters, surely the reward enough is just getting to heaven to be with him. But he wants to do more than that. He wants to bless us. He wants to reward us when we get to heaven. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to be giving him our very, very best. Surely he's worthy. Surely the Lord Jesus Christ deserves our best. We have to give him our best and nothing else. If we go back to that house and that feast in the Simon's house again, I'm sure that as the guests all left the house that night, I'm sure that as Mary maybe went outside and the aroma of that perfume, it would have been all over her hands, it would have been in her hair, it would have been all over her clothing. Mary would have smelled strongly of that beautiful aroma of the ointment. But you know something? She carried another fragrance also. She carried the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ upon her that night. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a special and what a blessed thing it is to have the fragrance of Christ upon us. She had sat at the Lord's feet. She had heard his teaching. She became a blessing to him. And now, as she left and the other disciples left, they left carrying the fragrance of Christ with them. And brothers and sisters, it's exactly the same for you and I, that whenever we leave the prayer meeting or the Bible study, whenever we leave those special times of fellowship on a Sunday morning as we gather around the Word of God, surely we carry the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. That no matter where we go, people will know that we have been with Jesus. There's no mistaking this fragrance. It's a holy fragrance. It's the fragrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, it's possible for you and I to carry this wonderful fragrance of Christ with us. It was a beautiful thing that Mary did that evening. It was a costly thing, and it was a memorable thing. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what Mary did for the Savior. As I go around churches today, I hear many people saying that they would love to be able to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they can't sing, that they can't testify, they're afraid to stand up in front of people, that they can't work with children, that they're not very good, they can't really do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, when we look at scriptures, how we should be encouraged, where it tells us that God takes the weak things and the foolish things of the world and he uses them for his glory. When I think of that, I think of David, who became a blessing. What did he have to use? A sling. And it's remembered in scripture. When I think of Dorcas, what did Dorcas have that she used for glory, for the God's glory? She had a needle. What about the small boy with some bread and some fish? He became a blessing. What about a man who just gave an upper room to be used? Brothers and sisters, there are so many, many things that we can do if we will just make ourselves available for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that I love is the story of Moses. And if you turn to the end of Deuteronomy, the last chapter in Deuteronomy, we all know the story of Moses. And we know how that when God commissioned him to go into Pharaoh and to tell him to let my people go, how that Moses feared greatly. He complained that he wasn't good enough, that his tongue, he couldn't speak properly, that his tongue was tied and he didn't really know what to do. And would he send somebody else? Would he send his brother? He made all the excuses of the day. He didn't want to go. But brothers and sisters, when Moses eventually obeyed, look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. Brothers and sisters, what a testimony to leave behind. What a wonderful testimony from a man who was afraid to go and represent God, who didn't want to go. He made all the excuses. Don't send me, Lord. Send somebody else. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody this morning, and this is where you are. Maybe the pastor's asked you to give your testimony or bring a short devotion in the church, and you think that you're just not good enough. And you would be right, because we're not good enough. But God will equip you, and he will help you to do that. Moses made all the excuses under the sun, but look at the testimony. And there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses. Look at the end of that verse. Whom the Lord knew face to face. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we get to the Bible studies. It's important that we get to the prayer meetings. It's important that we get to the Sunday service. It's important that we give Jesus Christ our very, very best, because he gave us his best. He went to the cross and he laid down his life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Brothers and sisters, will you give him your best? Will you continue to serve him if you haven't yet started? Will you stand up, go to the pastor and say, I'm available for what the Lord wants done? Brothers and sisters, in the light of Scripture, no excuses are acceptable. No excuses are good enough. All the excuses have been made before you in the Word of God. But how that God will take you and use you and bless you and use you for his glory. And may God bless these thoughts to our hearts. I want to take you now to the presentation and show you what has been happening in Ukraine over the past year and a little bit further back. This was the last time that we went to Ukraine. We've not been able to get out since February of last year. We've been unable to fly in because of the virus. But again, that was the last time I went. You know Martin Thompson there and Alex and myself and Jacqueline. This is a little church that we built in one of the villages. This is our headquarters in Ukraine. Now we have a room upstairs, and that's where all the praying and planning gets done. The Word of God, Faith in Action Missions, is all about the Word of God. It's so important to get the Word of God out into the hands of people. As I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, I didn't have a Bible. But now that I have a Bible, I want everybody to have a Bible. So it's wonderful that we can get the Trinitarian Bible Society, who will deliver them to Ukraine. And it's great to be able, that was us in Kiev one night, or Kharkov one night, going and collecting the boxes of Bibles that had just arrived in. And what a blessing it is to be able to go to them. This was at Christmas again, because we couldn't be there. This was the ministry within the prison system. And again, what an opportunity it is. We've been able to get into the prisons now for 20 years. And this was our last meeting within the prison. It's a wonderful time to go to the people, to share with them the Word of God, to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to see people coming to repentance, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the prisons now, we have Bible studies in all the prisons, prayer meetings in all the prisons, baptisms taking place in the prisons. Come August, there will be more baptisms, and an old rusty skip planted in the middle of the prison yard. The authorities release all the prisoners into the yard that day to witness the new converts to Christ going through the waters of baptism and hearing their testimonies. What a time it is. It's a powerful time as the unbelievers hear these new converts to Christ and the ones who have been going on for a number of years witnessing to what God can do in a man's life or a woman's life. The man in the front coat with his arm up at the front is Pastor Victor. This is men who are coming forward to repent, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. They want this changed life, life that God can give to them. This is them receiving the word of God to take back to their cells. Yes, we have to leave, but they have the word of God with them. And it's such a blessing to see the hunger for the word of God. This is Eastern Ukraine, where the war is going on. Again, many families have been affected by this war. And this is a home for children with cerebral palsy and autism. And we were able to hold a Christmas party for these little children who really don't have any hope. If you have any sort of illness over there, that you're sort of left behind. But we can go to them, we can help them, we can share the word of God with them. And at the end, that's our brother Yuri. Yuri's a pastor, Baptist pastor, to the Ukrainian army. And this is his day with the children, just sharing the word of God and giving them a little Christmas present. And then as we go to the war widows, the ones who have lost their husbands or their wives, we were able to gather them together in the east of Ukraine. We held a dinner for them. And again, this is our brother Yuri at the front, ministering to them, preaching the gospel to them. For many of these people, this was the first time upon hearing the truth of God's word. Yes, they had heard the old do-it-yourself job from the Orthodox Church and from other sources, but here they were hearing the truth of what God wanted them to hear. And it became such a fruitful time as people responded to the good news and they were saved. Again, this is for families and children who had lost loved ones within the war. We were able to gather them together, share the word of God with them, give them Bibles to take home. So great things were happening, even although there's a pandemic on. Great things are still happening. Ukraine didn't close down. Well, some parts of Ukraine closed down, but the churches refused to close. The churches said, we've been through worse persecution than this, so a pandemic's not going to scare us. And they never closed. They stayed open. Nearly everybody caught the virus. A lot of people died. But today, the churches are still going forward. Nothing has stopped, and nothing has closed. Christmas Eve. This is what Christmas Eve is like in Ukraine. It's not about shopping. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about the Lord. And what a blessing this was, where you can have 600 or 700 young people in the hall from all walks of life, from all the villages who just come to Christ has Risen Baptist Church, and where they're helped, where they hear the truth of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, this is Christmas in Ukraine. It's all about outreach. For the week leading up to Christmas Day, and on Christmas Day they held the same meeting again, but for sick and elderly people. So it was such a blessing to be able to reach them with the gospel and give them a Bible to take home with them. The House of Hope in Ukraine has been open now just about 2 years, bringing the elderly in. Recently, they've had to update their building because they're trying to join the EU. And because of that, they have to bring the building up, the specifications up to EU standards. So there's a few things going on at the House of Hope at the minute. The government in Ukraine, the law has changed since this new president has come in, and it's affecting many, many Christian ministries. And many of them are fearful that they're going to have to close down because they have no money to update their buildings to the standards required. Please pray for the Christian ministries in Ukraine at the minute. The House of Hope should be okay. We should be okay because we have already put the finances in. The building has been updated to meet the standards. But many, many, many Christian organizations are suffering through this. Drug and alcohol, prison ministries, many of them are going through a difficult time. Please pray for them. This is the elderly that is in the House of Hope. people were found lying, dying in many cases, in old shacks within the villages. We're able to bring them in and love them and care for them. And Pastor Pavel and Christ has Risen Baptist Church, this is part of their work. Not only reaching all the children that you just saw, but looking after and caring for the elderly also. This is the village work in that area. As we go into tiny little shacks, you can see that it's close fellowship, but this is where we go. We minister to them. We sing, we preach the gospel, we testify. And through that, this 16-year-old boy came to faith. In another house, this old elderly lady and this lady and this mother and daughter, they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just wonderful to see them not only being saved, but going on. Brothers and sisters, this is just as important. It's not enough just to say that I'm saved. We have to go on. And these people are going on. They're coming to the Bible studies. They're coming to the churches. And this is what's been happening recently. This is another church that we work with. We built this church also, and we live here. This is part the assistant pastor, Nikolai. The government didn't help the sick and the elderly, so we were able to send money in to start a COVID fund for the people who were sick, to pay for their medicine, to take them to the doctors, and to admit them into hospitals and things like that. We tried to care for them over the pandemic, and also to bring them food and to feed them. That's the pastor in the middle there. He went to visit the two church members, but the lady to the pastor's left is a neighbor, and she was quite nosy that day, and she wondered what's happening here. And she came into the house, and she saw how that the Christians were helping one another through this, so much so that she repented. She came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the good works that the church were doing in the area. Now she has requested baptism. So the Lord is moving. The Christian Disabled Fellowship that you work with here in Saintfield, I know them well. They're such a blessing and great work. This is our work among the Christian Disabled Fellowship in Ukraine. This is the people in the summer. We held a summer camp, yes, pandemic and all, and they all came together. And this is them, people wheelchair-bound, bedridden, and about eight Baptist churches unite. Eight. It's hard to get two to talk together sometimes here. But anyway, they were all working together over there. And this is the outcome. Bringing the people in, ministering to them, like Bible studies every day for 10 days. And then at the end of it, people repenting and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the meetings within the villages. As we go into the little houses, there can be 10 people, 40, 50 people waiting to hear the gospel. This was one woman, Svetlana, who came to faith at that meeting. As we went into this house, this is a Christian family. And as we went to them, the man in the bed has had a stroke, and he refuses to trust in Christ. But that day he called for us, and when I went into him, he just wanted to repent. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he needed Jesus Christ as his Savior. This is Nikolai, the assistant pastor, with this old lady who's totally blind. Again, we'll want to get Bibles into their hands, but for the ones who can't read, we give them Trans World Radio. And in the radio, we have a SIM card with really good Bible teaching and preaching. So they can't read, but they can listen. And we get many of them out. We buy them in our thousands. We put them into the hands of the people who are elderly. They can't read, or they're maybe just too old to read, but they can listen. So praise the Lord for these little radios. Have become such a blessing. That's an outdoor meeting in the village. Maybe last about 2.5 hours. This is three ladies who repented at that meeting. Brothers and sisters, people are hungry for the gospel in Ukraine. They've got a great respect for the things of God. They know that they're sinners. This was a disabled camp again, and this is young people repenting. That's Pastor Pavel, the one who looks after the House of Hope. and the Baptist Church, Christ has Risen Baptist Church. He's leading these young people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the people getting taken to the camp for the disabled. This is the outcome. Baptism, that says veru, believe. This is for the ones who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones whose lives have been changed. Their request for baptism is taken very seriously. There's an 84-year-old woman who is very ill, taken into the lake and baptized. There's another one who had a stroke. Natasha had a stroke. She wanted to be baptized. Maybe you're listening today and you have never been baptized. Why have you not been baptized? We need to be baptized. This is one of the men. And you can see that it's not just, there's an old communist lady who hated God, didn't believe in God, repented. Every time she hears the gospel, she just sits and cries. She can't believe that God loves her and saved her, and one day she's going to be in heaven. And brothers and sisters, you know, it's not only them, but they carry them in the wheelchairs. The people are carried in wheelchairs, the ones that can't walk. This lady here lived with her son, who was drunk and beat her up, broke the old lady's leg. This is her at the House of Hope repenting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because somebody showed care and love and compassion. We need to reach the people. There's people like this in Saintfield, you know. There's people like this all around us. But we're never going to know. We're never going to find them if we don't go to them. Here's an old pastor who was forgotten about. He actually started the church in Sokolova, Christ has Risen Baptist Church, 80 years ago. And this man, in his old age, his family deserted him. He was living on his own, 700 miles away from the House of Hope. Pastor Pavel and the church heard about him. They traveled 700 miles and took him in the condition that he was in. And they took him to the House of Hope. And he couldn't believe that God remembered him, he says. And they took him in, and this is the boys cleaning him up, giving him a shave. Now he plays the accordion on a Sunday in the church. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to reach. This is one of our cooks, the girl on the right. She's just been diagnosed with grade 4 cancer. Valentina, please remember Valentina and her husband. This is an old policeman hearing the gospel in the village for the first time. He just broke down in tears when he heard about what the Savior had done for him. And this is him repenting and coming to faith. Just finish. I'm going to finish off now. Pastor Pavel, please pray for this brother. He is on fire for our Savior. He's insulin dependent. He has many illnesses. He almost died before Christmas. The doctors gave him 1 week to live. The church fasted and prayed. And today, he's on his feet serving again. He is going through a difficult time because of the House of Hope and so many ministries. As he was driving past a rubbish dump, he seen this body lying in the rubbish dump, and he went to the rubbish dump, and he found this old lady lying in the rubbish, dying. She'd had a stroke, and she was lying, dying, nowhere to live. The pastor phoned the authorities, and the authorities just said, just leave her. It's okay, just leave her there. And the pastor said, no, you can put me in prison, but I'm taking her home. And the pastor took her home and put her into bed. And this is the old lady lying, dying at home. They ministered to her for a week. They talked to her about the Savior. We don't know if she got saved. But she passed away. But she passed away being cared for and loved. Brothers and sisters, with this I'm going to finish. What would you do if you passed somebody like that? Would you just ignore them? Would you cross to the other side of the street? Would you try to avoid eye contact so that you wouldn't have a bad conscience about ignoring a person like this? What would you do? See, when I think about that, I don't know what I could do. I don't know, really, if I could pick somebody out of the rubbish dump and take them to my house and put them to bed. I don't know if I could do that. But I know this, that with God's help, we can do anything. I do know that. We need, you know something, when I think of that again, this crosses my mind. Unawares, we have entertained angels. The Lord Jesus Christ could be testing us. How do we respond to the needs that we come up against in the area that God has planted us in? How do we respond to these people? How do we respond to the people who are lost? Drug addicts, alcoholics, people who are homeless. Do we ignore them? Do we cross to the other side of the street so we don't have to talk to them? Brothers and sisters, through Christ we can do all things. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Remember that whatever you're doing for the Lord, to give him your best, but to do it heartily, to do it with joy, to do it with passion in your heart. Why? Because it's the Lord Christ that we serve. What a privilege that we can serve the Master. Thank you so much, Pastor Moffat, elders, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. And God keep you safe through the rest of this pandemic and look after you and protect you. And thank you so much. God bless. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you again for your precious word. We thank you, Father, for the example of Mary and how that 2,000 years later you're still reminding us of this beautiful thing that Mary had done for the Savior. Father, we pray that you'll help us to be like that. You'll help us to give the Lord Jesus Christ our very best, the very best of our finances, of our time, of our family, of our fellowship. Help us to put the Lord Jesus Christ first in our lives. Father, we realize that you gave us heaven's best. You didn't send anything that was second best or something that you didn't need or want, but how that you sent the one that you love so much, the Lamb of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing things that you're doing throughout the world tonight. We've not even scratched the surface today. But Father, we thank you for all that you're doing throughout this world. And Father, we ask that you'll continue to help us. Be with the pastor here, be with Pastor Moffat and the elders, be with the deacons, be with the membership here. Look after them, protect them, bless them. If there's one who thinks that they're not good enough, Father, maybe after hearing about the people who thought they weren't good enough, maybe that they'll come forth and maybe they'll volunteer to be used by the fellowship here and all for your glory. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Part us now in your fear and with your blessing, for we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.